Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, December 1st. And it's almost hard to say December already here in the year of 2016. My goodness, how quickly time passes by. But nonetheless, we're starting the month of December, and I hope you have had a good day and appreciate you tuning in today to our broadcast here over WSOF and WAJJ Radio, as well as our website at WSOF.org. Well, let me hurriedly move on because I've got a lengthy message today. What I'm going to be doing today and tomorrow is I'm going to be finishing up this sermon on playing the proper chords to have a harmonious home and a melodious marriage. And in order to do that, I'm going to be playing portions of all the points I've hit thus far in this sermon and then tacking at the end the additional points. And so I'm going to have a lengthy sermon in today and tomorrow's broadcast. So I've got a short, quick song by our children. And then, and by the way, the song's entitled Sailing On. And we'll be listening to that right here in just a moment. But we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We do have time for prayer, and we ought to take time for prayer. But I also want to thank the Lord for meeting with us last night here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, our regular prayer meeting time. Our number was down. We had several people out and gone and different things going on. But nonetheless, we had a great time here in the house of God. I preached what I didn't consider a sweet message nor a pleasant message, but it was a truth from the Word of God and a timely truth that we needed. And I appreciate God helping me through that and helping our people. I got several comments that people got some help. So I'm grateful for that and give God the glory. All right. We're going to pray. And as we pray, also pray for Brother Shelby Wilson. He goes in tomorrow for some tests about the pain in his side. Find out what's going on there. They're going to do more tests on his legs and the veins on this coming Wednesday. And so remember these things in prayer as well. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy in my own life. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to broadcast over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. Lord, I thank you for our faithful listeners, those that pray for us and that hold us up. Lord, I pray for them. I pray you'd bless them and use them in a mighty and a special way. Father, I pray now for these special needs as we head into the broadcast. Use it, Lord, I pray for your glory and honor. But Father, I pray for Brother Shelby. Lord, you'd help him at they might be able to find what's going on there with those pains in his side that he's had for a couple of years now and not been able to get any relief or any location of what's going on. Hopefully by tomorrow they'll know a little more. So I pray, Father, you'll work there. I ask you to help him about the legs and the vein study that they're doing and let that work and be successful. Help him with the heart problems that he's had. And Lord, I pray continue to strengthen and help him. Lord, I pray for the Conrad family, the loved one that passed away, that you'd comfort the family there. I pray for that family we heard about in Tennessee from the church there that Brother Sexton pastors. And Lord, how that the young lady, her husband got killed by a fallen tree. And now a young mother with a couple of small children, and she's a widow. Lord, I pray for that family. Would you comfort, strengthen, and help there? Father, I pray for Brother and Sister Hall as they travel. Give them safety. Bring them in safely on Friday. Also for the Kuhns as they're coming in today. Lord, I pray give them safety and work things out there according to your will. Father, use the broadcast. Get the glory. Please save sinners. Lord, I pray you to help our homes. We ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. And amen. We're looking at the series, How to Have a Happy, Healthy, and Holy Home. There are five sermons in this series, and we've covered four already and are looking now at the fifth. We've looked, first of all, at Hope for the Home, in which I dealt with the importance of church, I believe, very important in our home. Church is important for our homes. And then we looked at the responsibilities of husbands and wives, then the responsibility of parents, and then just most recently the responsibilities of children. Now we're looking at the fifth sermon, and this has a lengthy title. I hope you'll bear with me and understand what I'm saying. I've called this Playing the Proper Chords to Have a Melodious Marriage and a Harmonious Home. You see, this sermon deals with the entirety of the things on the home, but I'm using it in the idea of a musical instrument, musical layout, playing the proper chords, how to have a melodious marriage and a harmonious home. And quite a bit of reading that I need to do for this. Let's begin in Psalm chapter number 127. Psalm chapter number 127. The Bible says this, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." That's verse number 1 of Psalm chapter 127. It's dealing with the fact that God must be in the home or our homes don't stand a chance. Amen. Then look in Ephesians chapter number 5. Quite a bit of reading here in Ephesians chapter 5 and also in chapter number 6. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband." Now look at chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." As I said before, this text is quite commonly used in dealing with the home and the family. Matter of fact, we've used it quite extensively in this sermon series. But today, I want to point out the word in verse number 19, the word melody. And I want to take a play on that word melody. It's speaking about the home. It's speaking about being spirit-filled. I recognize that. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns. It's talking about that spirit-filled life, but it brings it into the home life. And I believe that there is no doubt that it takes spirit-filled people in order to have a home that is melodious or in order to have a home that is harmonious. Today, most homes are off-key or they're in the wrong chord. I'm telling you, homes are hitting the wrong notes. And so I'm using this idea of the musical thought. And I'm preaching on playing the proper chords for a melodious marriage and a harmonious home. And I've got 8 points. I've listed them from A to G in the frame and the thought of the musical instrument. As you might, for example, play the piano and you've got a chord, and in that chord is eight an octave. There's 8 notes, and it's A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And so first of all, we're looking at the A. And the A is adore the Almighty. Now, I'm saying these are some things that we can apply in our life that can help us have a proper home. We can play the proper chords. We can have a melodious marriage. We can have a harmonious home if we will adore the Almighty. In other words, put God first. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, that last part of that verse says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was a decision that Joshua made. But he didn't just make it for himself. He made it for his entire household. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the verse that we've started all these broadcast in this series on, Psalm 127, verse 1, the first part, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen. If God is not involved in the home, it has very little chance of surviving in these days. There's so many attacks, so many attempts to divide and destroy the home. Amen. Give God first place in your life. Amen. That'll help your marriage survive. Let me say secondly, not only adore the Almighty, but number two, or be Bible-based. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. The Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. I'm telling you, better build your marriage on a book. Build your marriage on the Bible. Amen. The only expert on building the home is God and God's Word. You have a manual. We've got a book on how to have a happy, healthy, and holy home. I'm not talking about the book I wrote. I'm talking about the book God wrote. We have a manual. Read it. Study it. Put it into practice. Amen. And you ought to build your marriage and build your home on the Bible. Now, the third thing is C. We've had A, B, and C. C is constant courtship. Not only adore the Almighty, not only be Bible-based, but constant courtship. Now, that's talking about the husband and wife together. Proverbs chapter number 5, verses 18 through 20 say this, let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? You see, the husband and wife have a special relationship. And I believe they ought to express their love for each other often. Amen. You ought to keep the honey in the honeymoon. You ought to stay sweet on each other. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 4. Here's what the Bible says about it. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Amen. Now listen, I'm not going to get vulgar. By the way, you probably listen and watch things that are a lot more expressive than what I'm going to get on the broadcast, and even the scripture that I read was plain. But here's what I'm saying. Husbands, you ought to love your wife, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with you showing her some affection. Now, I don't believe that you ought to be all over one another in public. I believe there is a decency, there is a state of decency. That's why you've got curtains on the windows. That's why you've got a lock on your door. Amen. There's some things that ought to be done in private. I'm not talking about putting it out there in public. But privately, husbands and wives ought to work at staying close to each other. Be careful now. Stay close to each other. Amen. Let me move on to the fourth one real quickly, trying to finish these up this week. Number four, or D, I'm going to the children now. This is determined discipline. Now, I know I spoke on this last week as I talked about disciplining the children. Here's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 19. The Bible says, for I know him, this is God speaking about Abraham, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. God said, I know Abraham. He's going to raise his children right. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, we all know that to properly train our children, we will have to discipline them. However, I wish to inform you that the children will never be properly disciplined themselves until the parents discipline themselves. Amen. We have to be consistent. We have to be courageous. And we have to be compassionate if we're going to teach them to do the right thing. Amen. Now, I believe discipline in children requires a disciplined adult with reproof, rebuke, and the rod. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, let me put a couple of notes in here before I move off of this point. The rod being spoken of here is not a pool stick nor a billy club. It's not a baseball bat. I believe it's more like a hickory switch that people used to use to make respectable citizens out of rebellious and rambunctious boys and girls. Amen. Neither myself, this church, nor the Bible advocates beating a child. There is no place for smacking, punching, kicking, jerking the arm, shaking violently, or any such thing that is actually child abuse. We advocate the discipline of children by the use of a switch, appropriately applied by loving, corrective parents. I'm not talking about angry parents. I'm talking about loving, corrective parents. If you're angry, listen to me, friend, get a hold of yourself before you get a hold of that child. Amen. All right, let me move on to something a little bit more pleasant. We're talking about playing the proper chords to have a melodious marriage and a harmonious home. And we've talked about these through A, B, C, D, and now we're on E. Adore the Almighty. Be Bible-based. Constant courtship. Determined discipline. And then E, everybody eats together. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 25 through 27. The Bible says, and the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall, and Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, something hath befallen him, he is not clean. Surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet yesterday, nor today? This text that I'm dealing with, Saul was the king, and it was the custom for his family and his followers, his men in his cabinet, maybe we might say, would sit at the table with him. You see, Saul expected everyone to be present around the table for the evening meal. He thought something must be wrong with David if he didn't sit down and eat supper with the others. Amen. Now, you do remember the great story of David's kindness that he showed towards Mephibosheth over there in 2 Samuel chapter number 9. One of the signs that Mephibosheth had been accepted into the family was that he was allowed to sit at the table. Oh, I'm talking about the privilege of sitting at the table together. But it's not just a privilege. I believe it ought to be a requirement. I believe it ought to be expected that the boys and the girls, as long as they're under the roof and as long as it is possible, I realize once they get jobs, in today's economy, things may be pulling here and there. But I'm telling you, I think we ought to be sitting around the table together. Today, we have everybody going to their own different direction. They go different all day long and even dividing up at supper time. One goes into his room or her room to do homework. Another goes into the living room to watch TV, while another goes somewhere to do something else. And because of that, there's no family unity. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I think it would be healthy and helpful to our homes if we would sit down and eat a meal together. Now, I'll have to say, I do not believe it to be sinful, but I believe it's hurtful to the home when we all divide up and go our separate ways. I believe we ought to make an effort to sit down and fellowship with our family. In other words, talk to them. Amen. I think I've mentioned this before in a sermon before, but when I worked on a job and I worked in houses, hanging and finishing sheetrock, we'd be in there a lot of times. Electricians and carpenters and plumbers and different people would be involved in the building of the home while we were there. And perhaps we'd stop for either break time or more likely lunchtime. Sometimes people would go off. They may go somewhere to get something to eat, but a lot of times you're working out in the middle of nowhere. Everybody brought their lunch, and I generally did. You know what we didn't do? We didn't one fellow say, well, I'll take this room back here in the back, and you take the room over there on the left, and somebody else, you go sit out in the garage. No, we didn't do that. You know what we did? We sat together. Now, we may have been almost total strangers. We didn't know each other. We may have, and most of the time did, go to different churches. Some of them didn't even go to church. You know, in construction crews, you've got all kinds. But we've got people with totally different jobs, totally different personalities, totally different religions, and yet we sit down together for a meal. Could you imagine then getting up from that, and by the way, having a little bit of fellowship, then getting up from that and going home for supper, and your own son won't sit at the table with you. Your own daughter won't sit at the table with you. Your own spouse won't sit at the table with you. Friend, something wrong in that picture. I believe it'd be helpful for our homes. It would be nice to start fellowshipping together with our family. Amen. Amen. Well, I've run out of time. We'll look back at this, try to finish these last 2 points up on tomorrow's broadcast. And until then, may God bless you, is our prayer. And thank you for listening.